Hi, everyone. I'm Allie.
And I'm Andy.
And welcome back to another episode of Marianne and Wanda, your favorite book club and media podcast. And yeah, here we are. We are well. We're like 5 days into December now. I don't know how I feel about that, but...
Holy cow, the end of the year. What a year it's been.
Yeah.
I was thinking what about it. We've read quite a few books this year and short story material. More than I ever did in school, that's for sure.
Scathing review of JP2.
I mean, this is all school in general. Sumner, JP2, and Barry College. I'm just going to say it.
Oh, that's really funny.
But it's different when you read... It's different when you read something that you, like, actually want to read versus something that you're required to read.
Yeah, and... Yeah, I think you're right. And I'm glad. I mean, that's like the whole reason why we started this podcast, right? Was so that you would be able to read more and we'd talk about books. And we're doing it.
We are doing it. And it's been enjoyable. Like, I used to dread reading whatever required book we were doing, especially in high school English. I used to leave the required reading until, like, the very last thing on my homework list. And even then, most of the time, I wouldn't do it.
So how'd you get by? Do you read Spark Notes?
Sometimes.
Oh boy.
It just depended. Anyway, so we're in between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be home for Christmas for a while?
I, of course, will be. Hopefully for a little bit more than a week, but we'll see.
Okay, well, let me know when you come and we'll do a Feast of Seven Fishes or something. You know.
Oh yeah.
Something
casual. Oh, you have to come for that.
Maybe we can record an in-person episode too.
That'd be wild. Yes. So yeah, I've got like 2 weeks at least until I'm leaving. I've got 2 weeks to collect the rest of my data. We start on Thursday. So everyone think happy thoughts for me and the science world in general. So yeah, just a lot of that for the next 2 weeks. And you know, like I got a lot on my plate right now, but
same.
I'm happy to be here with you.
Yeah. I've got a bunch of projects to finish up by the end of the year too.
Mm-hmm.
But I scheduled myself a massage for my birthday, so once I get to that, I'm not going to think about work anymore.
Ooh, that'll be so nice. That's exciting.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, okay, I just got to get it. Just got to make it to the massage.
Yeah. We'll go anyway, from there.
Yeah. So this week we are starting with our new short story miniseries that you picked out.
Yes. This time I chose Helen Ellis as our author, which I'm very excited about. I enjoyed this, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we read Southern Lady Code. So just, if you didn't get your copy, now's a good time. But I did really enjoy this. Sounds like you didn't. I didn't read your notes, should I?
Oh, no, I enjoyed it. I think you might have enjoyed it a little more than me, but it was good.
Okay, that's funny. Okay. Yeah, so it was by Helen Ellis, who was a Southern gal for the first 22 years of her life. She was born in T-Town, or Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
T-Town.
That's what the local yokels call it, I'm telling you.
Oh,
that's
really?
What my friend Corianne taught me.
Okay.
I really hope, or I'm very wrong, and all of our Alabama fans are going to get after us. But anyway, she spent the first 22 years of her life in the South, and then she decided that she wanted to move to New York City to become a big writer. And she, like, got there and then started applying to grad school and just got a whole bunch of rejections. And what the article I read in Due South said was that in retaliation, she wrote the book Eating the Cheshire Cat, which I just really like the idea of writing a book in retaliation.
Yeah.
You know how much work that is?
Yeah, but then if you don't get it published, then who's going to read it?
You're not wrong, but she did end up getting it published, so.
Yeah.
I mean, she got rejected by a ton of publishers first, which is, like, something that I hear from, again, every single author.
Mm-hmm.
But she did eventually get that published in 2000, so. But in the meanwhile, she also learned how to be a housewife and just kind of quit writing because she was so mad about everything. And then she took it up again, and she kind of, the way she described it in this interview was that she, like, dipped her toes in by starting an anonymous Twitter page called What I Do All Day, which apparently she can still be found at. and then just like eased her way back in. So she ended up 16 years after she published her first novel, she wrote American Housewife, which is a collection of essays.
I kept listening to the audio recording after the two stories that we are mm-hmm. going to review. And the one after that, I think it was called something like How to Watch Pornography Like a Lady. Mm-hmm. And in that story, it mentions that her Twitter feed is at American Housewife. And that she gets a lot of targeted ads because of her handle. And it sounds like the terms American Housewife is a very commonly searched term in the pornography world. And so that's why and so that's why she gets a lot of the ads, supposedly. But I thought that was funny. And I thought that was her actual like social media handle because she mentioned it explicitly. But I didn't realize that was another writing of hers.
No, that's so funny. It's also a TV show, but unrelated to the short story series or to the essays.
Gotcha.
She wrote Southern Lady Code, which was published April 16th, 2019. So we are 4 years behind, nearly five, but we don't talk about that. In 2021, she published Bring Your Baggage and Don't Pack Light. And this year, Kiss Me in the Coral Lounge came out. And so she's been getting back into it.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to try something else by her. I've like read two short stories and I'm already hooked. So
yeah, I just kept listening and listened to the next like two, three, maybe four.
Wow. I like the audiobook for this one as well. Mm-hmm. So
is she the one who narrates the book? I don't know why I assumed yes, but I think just the way that the reader sounds, it sounds like it has to be her.
Has to be, right? Let's see what Audible says. Narrated by Helen Ellis.
Perfect. I'm glad that was right.
So yes, it was. She is the Helen Ellis is the audiobook narrator as well. Mm-hmm. And it sounds great. So good work on her part. She sounds exactly how I would expect.
Yeah, same.
Also found out that she plays poker professionally, like on the professional circuit. And she was taught by her father when she was like four or something.
Wow.
It's insane. It's just, yeah, very funny to have an author / professional poker player. I also read some more things by her, and one of the things that she was talking about in reference to the, I think, short story collection we read is that when you come into someone's home, it should be an experience, and she says, just let me take care of you for a night, just let me be nice, and I don't know about you, but that's, like, something that really resonates with me, like, when I have anyone inside my house, I feel the need to make sure that it's very clean, and then to have, like, a tasty treat for them if they want it, just in case.
I am the total opposite. Like, I am not going to cook a special treat for you. You might get lucky if we clean the bathroom, and most of the time it's probably going to be Adam that cleaned it.
Oh, that's so funny.
Not that I don't take pride in my house. I don't know. If you're coming over, you probably know me well enough that, like, you're not going to care. At least I don't think you would care.
That's fair.
I have no one to impress.
Oh, that's so funny. They're completely different. He also says that no thank you is a complete sentence. And my favorite little story about her is that she was like walking down the street in New York City and someone came up to her and demanded her purse, and she avoided the mugging by just saying no thank you and continuing to walk.
Yeah, so one of the other short stories after the couple that we read is called An Emily Post for the Apocalypse. And she talks about that in that short story, how it's her mother giving her advice on how to not get mugged, how to not get murdered, how to, like, those types of things. And so mm-hmm. she mentions that in there, that because of her mother's advice, she was able to avoid a mugging by saying, no, thank you, when they said, hand over your purse.
That is so funny. I love that. She's like a big fan of her right now. She says that her favorite Southern saying, which, do you have a favorite Southern saying?
I don't know. I might have to think about that one.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm always a big fan of Bless Your Heart, just on a personal level. It just mm-hmm. feels great. But hers is, I'm not in charge, which apparently translates to, you're doing it wrong.
That makes total sense. I've heard that before. It's like, well, I'm not the one in charge.
Yeah, that's, I say that, like, all the time in, like, the lab.
We'll do it your way. Not how yeah. I would do it, but we'll do that's, it your yeah. way.
You're making the wrong decision here.
Yeah, I'll have to think about that. I haven't thought about what my favorite one is.
Well, think about it while we keep talking today and let me know if you come to any conclusions. And the last thing is that she also wrote a LitHub article on writing about people you know in a nice way. Her advice just for all the budding authors out there is to write the story you've told a million times. So, like, whatever you tell your friend, like, 3-4 times that they've heard all over and they could tell it back to you, like, just write that story. You know, like, start in the middle, start in the beginning, start in the end. Just, like, do whatever works. And then my favorite little tidbit is also, revenge is a dish best served in a novel. Big burn. I think she really killed it. So this time we read How to Be the Best Guest and When to Write a Thank You Note.
Yeah, those are two separate stories.
Yes.
Let's do the first one and then we'll do the second one instead of doing them tandem.
That works for me. I enjoyed this. It's like in the middle of this collection, but I do think it was a great introduction. I thought it was very witty and very funny throughout the whole time.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of these different stories, at least the few that I listen to, most of them are from the perspective of Helen's mom giving her advice on different topics. So, like, her mom giving her advice on, if you want to be the best guest at a party, do these things.
I was just wondering, you know, I was listening to this and I was wondering how many of these traits we both display. Like, do we both arrive on time to parties?
I was 5 minutes late to Annalie's house last weekend, so no.
I see, now I wouldn't even consider that early.
Oh, well, okay. But also, I kind of got the feeling that this was more of, like, traits for a fancier dinner party, not, like, a get-together with the gals.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like, because it talked about how you might have somebody's husband invited, or, like, whatever. Like,
are you referring to the worst guests?
Correct. But, I mean, if it's a bigger party like that, where you have your primary friend invited plus their spouse or partner or whatever, like, that's a bigger party, not like an intimate little hanging out and playing card games like I did last weekend. But no, I did not arrive on time, so I guess no.
That's funny. What about any of these other ones?
Sending flowers on the day of this party ahead of time? Absolutely not.
Did you also hear how much she said that you should spend? Like, enough, like, as much as you would spend on a nice dinner, plus, send in flowers.
Yeah, plus dinner, or plus alcohol and tax.
Yeah, I know. That's, like, so much.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Which, like, flowers are also pretty expensive, but.
Yeah, but no. And then, unless it has been arranged ahead of time that I am expected to bring something, I'm not bringing wine or cookies or whatever.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, like, if
I do that often,
where everybody's gonna bring a side dish or whatever, great, I will bring something. Yeah. If it's not stated before that, I'm not bringing anything.
That's funny. I would likely do something like that, but I would not. I would also like eat what I was given, right? Like, who's gonna turn down some food, like, or say something bad at least food?
Do I need to remind you of when you had pinto beans at my house for the first time?
I was young, and I don't, as I recall, the interaction happened as I wasn't really eating them, and your mom asked me if I liked them, and I said no.
I am probably less likely than you to eat what I'm given. There's so many foods that I don't like.
And yeah.
Unless it's cooked in a way that I really can't tell it's there, I'm not eating it. Like, it's not to be rude. If I try to eat it, I'll probably throw up. So, which is going to be worse?
Fair.
Yeah, mushrooms, I'm sorry, but you're not hiding that for me to not know it's there.
Wow, you're wrong about that one, too. Mushrooms are delicious, but we don't have to get into that.
If it's good, though, I will ask for seconds.
That's true. I would, too.
Yeah.
Also, I would dawdle, which is, I guess, against the code. And I also would never make conversation with the worst guests. I'm so over talking to people I don't really like.
So when it's mentioning dawdling, is that, like, taking too long to eat your food? Or what does that mean?
Yeah, I think it means, like, in a reference, yeah, like, when the hostess is ready to get up and start clearing the the kitchen table and like mm-hmm. go and start playing games. Like, no dawdling in any of that. Like, let's shuttle the party along here.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha. So you mentioned also the best guest makes conversation with the worst guest. And I thought it was funny for the one of the quotes was something along the lines of like asking the worst guest who is most likely like somebody's husband or the accountant yeah. or something like that. And it was like, what's the sexiest tax form?
Yeah. But I would never do that. No, no thank you.
No, I'm not social enough to go make conversation with somebody who's also not very conversational themselves.
Yes, and even less likely would be picking them as a charades partner. I am definitely choosing a friend who I know will help me.
We're too competitive for that. We cannot lose.
We will not lose, and I will not be your friend for this.
Yeah. I noticed the last point you have is that the best guest is the first one in and the first one out, which I thought was interesting. I would have thought the best guest would be the last one out, to make sure that nobody's lingering too long when the host is ready to shut it down for the night.
That's true. But you know, the best way to get people to leave is like for somebody else to get up and go.
Yeah. It needs one person to start the trend.
Yeah. Like that's what happened. We just had a Christmas party with my lab and we were hanging out and having a good time, but I was kind of ready to go. And all of us were just kind of lingering, trying mm-hmm. to figure out a polite way to do it until one of us said something. So, like, yeah, I understand how the best guest might also, though, like, yeah, like, leave first and really get the party going out the door as well.
Yeah, you know, the cue for being somebody who needs to leave is if you're sitting down, you slap your hands against your knees and you say, well,
yep,
I guess it's about that time.
I've been known to do that before.
I think everyone's been known to do that. Anyway, this whole story reminded me of at Sumner Academy when we had to take our etiquette classes in third and fourth grade.
Yes.
Like every rule of like the salt and pepper must be moved together. When somebody says, can you pass the salt? You pass both of them. And like just all the little things like that, that before we took our etiquette class, we would have never known. Like all of that reminded me of Southern Lady Code.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I love those classes. I still use them to this day. Libba just asked me over Thanksgiving where to put the knife on the bread plate and like a drink glass or something. And I was like, yeah, I got you. I know everything. Thank you for this. Thank is a pride. a point of pride of mine that we went to Merchants downtown and had our fancy luncheon.
Yeah.
I did have a good time.
Yeah, I remember it too. Only other note I have about this story is that the rules seem to be outdated. Like, some of them still apply, but I feel like in general, most of them are more of like, if you're going to a dinner party in the 60s, every single one of these would apply. Now it's kind of like, maybe half?
Yeah, maybe half. Now do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I will say one thing that I loved a lot about this was the gender switch between the best guest and the worst guest, the way that the best guest was a woman and the worst guest was a man.
Yeah.
That gave me a chuckle. And I did think that there were a lot of lines in here that were very funny. Like, looks like something out of Barbra Streisand's Wet Dream. Did you bedazzle those two dozen pine cones yourself? You did? Did you take a class for that? You didn't?
Like, wow, you are so good at decorating.
Yeah. And the way that Helen read it, loved it. So you ready to move on to when to write a thank you note?
Yeah, I think I enjoyed this one a little bit more than the first one.
Yeah, that's fair. We'll say that there was a great transition between the two. So like the first story ended with the best guest is the first to write a thank you note. And then the next one is when to write a thank you note.
Yeah.
So I really liked that.
Yeah. This one I had more opinions on.
Ooh.
Yeah. Than the first one. The first one was a good read, but it was just kind of like, it is what it is. The thank mm-hmm. you notes one I thought was a little more controversial.
Ooh.
My first note being, why should teenage boys be exempt from writing thank you notes just because they give little effort? Because teenage girls are expected to write them. We should not be letting teenage boys off the hook from doing things they don't want to do just because they purposely give little effort to do it.
Yes, I believe they call this one weaponized incompetence.
Yep, I was about to say that too.
I mean, I definitely understand it though, because, you know, my idea of hell is also having to read a one sentence fill in the blank thank you note written by a teenage boy. So
yeah, but yeah, I don't know. I also
saw they should not be let off the hook. Though the other ones, new moms, the bereaved, and women jilted at the altar, I'm all on board with that.
Yes, those get a pass.
Yes, absolutely.
Although Adam and I did write thank you notes for everything we received for our baby shower, but we did it before Rosie was born. So we kind of got that out of the way. That way we didn't have to worry about it once she was born.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, so I thought that was like feeding into the weaponized incompetence. Like if they know, oh, I don't want to do this, and they just write one sentence, that likely their mom is not going to send it, or they'll just not make them do it in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I also saw a lot of memes around Thanksgiving that was like, let your sons help with baking the pies and making the stuffing and the sides and all the things that you allow your daughters to do, and let's not raise another generation of boys to think that the man only comes into the kitchen to cut the turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that also reminded me of this. Like, the teenage boys should be able to do it just as well as the teenage girls. And if you're going to expect the teenage girls to do it, the boys ought to do it too.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. And then kind of along with that, did you notice when it said, you should amend your vows to say that the woman is responsible for writing the thank you cards in the marriage, like if the couple gets invited to a party or given a gift? And I thought, absolutely not. The way that Adam and I did it, like when we received gifts for like our baby shower or like for our wedding, a lot of people sent us like a gift card or something. If it came from somebody that is on Adam's side of the family or friends that we knew primarily from Adam, he wrote those cards, and then I wrote the ones family members that we received stuff from on my side of the family, and then friends that were primarily my friends. And then once we wrote those out, we swapped, and I signed my name at the bottom of all of his cards, and he signed his name at the bottom of all of mine.
Oh, okay.
So we both did it, and we only had to do half of them each, roughly.
Yeah.
So that was how we did it. It wasn't just me, but I was like, amending your vows? Absolutely not.
I like the idea, though, of like when she said she wakes up every day and asks herself, did you write your thank you notes? I do like the idea of writing a thank you note as like a way of meditation and just like thinking back on your day or your day before or what you want this day to be.
Yeah.
That seems like a good way to get yourself to journal in a way.
Mm-hmm. Were you expected to write thank you cards after receiving a gift or going to a party growing up?
Only for big stuff. So, like, I remember doing it after graduation, like, from Sumner and from JP2 when somebody had sent me a gift, and from Vandy, actually. When someone had sent me a gift, my mom had made sure to get, like the standardized nice thank you notes, and I sent them out to everybody who gave me anything.
Mm-hmm.
But not for like I never gave you a thank you note, really, so.
I don't think so. Like, I was trying to remember, like, after a birthday party or something, I don't remember writing thank you notes. I don't know. But Adam's family, they are very pro thank you note. Like, he said he grew up writing thank you notes after every gift, everything like that. But that was just something that their family, that's what they did. Like, I don't remember my mom ever saying, did you write a thank you note for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just have been getting warned to like sending cards and notes to people. So I have been thinking about doing it more. Like, I have been wanting to send my friend who I stayed with in Seattle a small present as a thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't done it yet. But it is, it's something that I kind of want to do more. But yeah, for the most part, no, never, only for big, big stuff.
Yeah. I think that's okay. Like, for a special occasion or, like you said, a graduation or a baby shower, whatever. That's fine because it's not something all the time, but this lady sounds like every single little thing she's writing a thank you card for, like for the dentist and the hygienist and the receptionist. And it's like, if you overdo it with the thank you cards, they really don't mean as much, in my opinion.
So you're not of the thought of if you're grateful, get a pen?
If you're genuinely grateful, sure. But
I don't. Well, I mean, she does say, I think in the story, she says, if I don't have something genuine to say about it, I won't write one.
That's true.
Maybe she's just nicer than we both are.
Yeah, maybe so.
We're grateful in general for life.
Yeah. It's funny that you said your mom got you a box of thank you cards, because my favorite quote from this one was, in summary, gifting a box of thank you cards or thank you notes is passive aggressive and means that person never writes thank you notes.
I mean, it's true though, right?
Yeah. But I mean, that was from your mom, but it just made me think of that.
That's funny. I also really liked, Mama didn't raise me to fake it. For example, I did not write a thank you note to the boyfriend who gave me Hanes pantyhose in his sister's size. Mama said, and I swear to God, it's hell in a shell. That no, I thought hussy, it, break up.
I thought it did too. I can't, every time I heard it, and she says it in the other stories too. Hell in a shell, hell in a shell. And then I looked it up on, I Googled the book and read some of the review pages, and it says Helen Michelle because it's her mom talking to Helen.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense now that you say it, but I read that, I was like, Helen Michelle, and I was like, ooh, I kind of like that, I'm gonna start using it.
Yeah, I thought that was a southern phrase too, and that's what I thought it was saying, but then I looked it up and I was like, is that really a term? I've never heard that. And it's Helen Michelle.
Michelle, well, I'll be.
Yeah. And I noticed when you put it in there, I was like, oh, she probably didn't realize it was that either.
Oh, I didn't go looking. I was like, yeah, you know what? That's something I never heard, but I'm really on board.
My only other note is that I used to listen to a podcast called Wedding Confessionals, like when I was engaged, and I don't know, that was something that I was listening to at the time. They used to always preach that there is a 1-year time limit on writing a thank you note, particularly for wedding gifts, but I was wondering if you think that applies or if it depends on the occasion. Is there a 1-year limit or what?
I think in general, you should try to do it within a year. But I mean, like if you need some more time or if you like just realized how important or thankful you are for something, then I think you can send one. But it would be like, I realized how grateful and thankful I am that like Molly gave me some sort of really nice present that I use every day and I never really thanked her for it. And so then I might do it, but it wouldn't be like I don't like me writing, I don't like somebody from Sumner or something, you know, like thanking them for something. Mm-hmm. Like I think she mentioned a high school friend saying something nice to her at their 20-year reunion. Like, no.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I think if it's for an occasion like a wedding, a baby shower, a graduation, whatever, I think your time limit is 60 days max.
Whoa, 3 months?
2 months.
2 months? I can't even do math.
I think that's 1 year. Like if I sent you a KitchenAid mixer for your wedding and you sent me a thank you note a year later, I would be like, where was the thought behind this?
I'm a busy lady.
I get it. I think Adam and I wrote our thank you notes for our little baby shower like 2 weeks, maybe a month. But we intentionally got it done because we didn't want to have to worry about it after Rosie was born. So we sat down one night and was like, let's just knock them all out. And then I think for our wedding, our gift cards that we got, I think we got those out in a month too.
Okay. I think for some reason in particular my JP2 thank you notes were super delayed because my mom was really, really mad at me about them. I have a memory about that. So
yeah,
I think I'm more on the 1 year side on this one.
I think it depends though. I think it needs to be for a big occasion. If it's just like somebody sending you got a job promotion and they sent you a card with $10 in it, congrats on your promotion, my grandma would do that. I would not send a thank you card back. I'd probably just call her and say thank you or send her a text.
Call her text, yeah.
Yeah. Mostly big occasions, I would say 60 days.
I am trying to get more into correspondence, so.
So other than that, there was one other thing that I thought was funny that's not in either of these two stories, but one of the stories that comes after these two, I think it was the one called An Emily Post for the Apocalypse. It says, if you want to get rid of a phone scammer or like a, she called it solicitor, but if you want to get rid of like robocalls and phone scammer calls, it says, this is what you need to do. Answer the call and say, thank you for calling, but I've just murdered my husband and I'm not done digging the hole in the backyard yet. And they will never call, and they will never call you again.
Yeah, do you think they'd like have to report that?
Well, I mean, they might be turning themselves in for doing illegal activity.
Oh, that's so funny. I love that.
So I wrote that down and I was like, I get phone scam calls all the time. I'm going to try it and see what happens.
You should report back. Let us know how it goes.
Okay. Any final notes on that one?
No.
Okay.
Should we rate it?
Yes. Do you want to rate them together or separate?
Well, let's rate them together.
Okay.
Out of, oh God, what's our scale? 5.
Best guess who write thank you notes?
Yeah, out of 5 best guests who write thank you notes, how many do you give these 2 boys?
I'm going to go 3.8.
3.8. Okay, I'll go higher than you. I'll give it like a solid 4.2.
Okay. It's not that I didn't like them. I do wish they were longer because I think the thank you note one was only like 1.5 minutes long.
Yeah, like that. And then the first one was only like 4:40.
Yeah. I'm glad you listened to the next one, too, because I was like, oh, man, that one's a really short one.
Yeah. The next one will be much longer. I'll look at the times better.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was a good start to Helen Ellis.
Yes.
Helen Ellis.
I'm sorry. It had to have been what she said. Yeah, and next week we'll be watching The Holiday, so if you're going to join us.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Marianne and Wanda. We would love to hear your feedback and if you have any books or topics for us to review.
You can reach us at Marianne and Wanda Podcast on Instagram or send us an email at Marianne and Wanda Podcast @gmail.com. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.